You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition and their new centerfire rifle ammunition Terminal Ascent. Now, the Terminal Ascent has a slipstream polymer tip that helps flatten trajectories and initiates low-velocity expansion at longer ranges. The Terminal Ascent gives you match-grade long-range accuracy in a bonded hunting bullet, and it comes in a variety of cartridges, including the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 28 Nosler, the 7mm Remington Mag 30-06, and the 300 Win Mag. If you want to find more information about the Terminal Ascent, visit federalpremium.com. And while you're there, check out It's Federal Season, the official podcast of Federal Ammunition.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to another Land and Legacy Podcast. It's your host, Matt Dye, and I am happy to be bringing another podcast to you guys this week. We certainly appreciate you listening in on iTunes, through Sportsman's Nation, all of that, and following along on social media, guys. That is huge, so we certainly appreciate. But this week is pretty cool because we'll be talking with some Land and Legacy clients, and not clients just from a consulting standpoint, but also from a real estate standpoint. And so what we mean by that is they have reached out to us prior to even purchasing a property and said, hey, I find value in you all helping me or helping us assist us to represent us in the real estate purchase as well as consulting. So we can identify the best property on the market to reach your goals ahead of time. That makes the consultation and then all the follow-up work and the management much easier. Buying right out of the gate is certainly step one. Oftentimes, you know, we'll find that an emotional buy was done first, and then you realize, man, this is a lot of work getting into it. How do I come out of this? Or what if I had bought that other property? Would I've run into this issue? So you'll be hearing from Wilson Perry, and his father wasn't able to come on the podcast, but you'll hear him discuss and talk about the way that Land and Legacy was able to operate and work through finding a piece of property for them, referring that business to that local agent, but then they always had us alongside of them working on their behalf to provide insight, provide information about the area, about the natural resources in that region, about what may or may not have happened in that on that property in the past. It allows them to purchase a property very educatedly going into that process. So you'll hear all about that during this podcast. And, you know, all this to say, oftentimes when you're buying something that you love and you're passionate about, you can find yourself getting in deep rather quickly. And sometimes that results, again, in a purchase that you may, I wouldn't say have buyer's remorse, but you just might not have caught all the things that the property, you know, does have to show with a separate set of eyes. That third party view can certainly have its value, and that's what we're discussing today. So we hope that you sit back and enjoy this podcast. Really consider, you know, the aspects of buying from a different realm. We can enjoy land in so many different ways, but you know, part of the process of managing land, acquiring land, is obviously purchasing it. So this is directly applicable to a lot of the situations we come across, as well as those who are beginning to enter into that land ownership realm. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. First, let's take a quick moment, listen from one of our sponsors. So, Pure Air Natives makes this podcast happen. and we would certainly like to give them a little bit of attention here. They are a custom seed blend shop located out of St. Louis, Missouri. If you guys are doing anything CRP, pollinator, cost share programs where you're doing native plantings, be sure to give them a shout. They have the ability to not only custom blend seeds, so for whatever your project is, it's very specific. We're talking seeds per square foot specific kind of stuff, guys, based on your region, the amount of sunlight, the soil types, all these details go into making these custom blends. But if you're also just looking for, hey, you know, a trail screen or, you know, edge planting or, you know, a bedding mix, they've got all of that there as well. So be sure to head over to pureairnatives.com. Check them out there online at their website. You guys have any information? Tons of great resources there on the website. But then shoot them a question. Shoot them an email. Very responsive there through the website as well as social media on Instagram and Facebook. So take a few minutes. Check out pureairnatives.com. All righty, man. You there?
I am.
Man, I appreciate you taking the time to jump on the phone with us and, you know, share your experiences with Land and Legacy. I think that this podcast is going to be a fantastic follow-up from the conversation, the podcast that Frank and I had not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, regarding managing a Kansas property. Well, you and your father are the proud owners of that piece of property. And I think it'll be a cool way for our listeners to be able to, if you will, kind of put themselves in your shoes of what that process and everything looked like. So, Wilson, welcome to the podcast. Appreciate your time jumping on. If you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your father, too, because he's a big part of this as well. We cannot forget him, and just kind of tell us overall a little background story and then what your goals were for reaching out to Land and Legacy.
Yeah, so Matt, thanks for asking and happy to share. So I'm in my late 20s. My dad is in his early 60s and he is kind of towards the end of retirement. I'm obviously in the early parts of my career, but my dad, so growing up, we're from kind of the North Georgia area, metro Atlanta. But grew up with a dad that was an outdoorsman and included me and stuff like that. And so helped develop a passion for that. We had always dreamed about owning property. My father had either leased or hunted with friends or outfitters in a lot of different parts of the country, but specifically the Midwest, and really loved the state. And so we had dreamed about what it looked like to own a piece of property, either there or a few other states. And so we started thinking about that and talking about that more seriously this past year. And we had followed Land and Legacy, and even prior to that and other work that you guys had done had followed you. And we're just big believers. And I think for us, we knew that we had the passion and desire to do this, but we wanted to do it the right way. And we wanted to have confidence in what we were doing. And so really through that, we were like, man, we want to contact Adam and Matt and those guys and have them help us in this process if possible. So that is where it kind of kicked off and started.
Yeah.
And I guess we can go from there.
Yeah, no, that's an awesome kind of introduction there to what you guys were wanting and looking for when it came to, you know, working with us. And I guess, you know, there's always been a desire, burning desire in everyone's, I don't know, heart, soul, whatever, just their energy into land ownership, like eventually, like that, you know, that's the American dream, is to one day own a piece of property that you call yours, that you can manipulate, you can create memories on, that just lasts a lifetime and beyond a lifetime. But for you, when do you think that like desire for owning a piece of land like really took off? You know, it some of those, or I guess like took off originated and then became the reality that, like, man, we're going to do this?
Yeah. So, you know, my dad, prior to me really even getting into hunting or appreciation for the outdoors, had talked about it some, but just priorities. I mean, this was, we're talking 10, 15 years ago. There were other priorities, getting myself and my two younger sisters through college and just all of that. So he put that on the wayside. It really started with him. You know, as far back as we know, nobody on at least my father's side owned actual like a piece of land or a farm. And so that was something he wanted to do. So fast forward, I graduate and go to college in 2010. And my dad starts to lease property in other parts of the country that we go and do really like father, son, just weekends or weeks, just to enjoy hunting, and being together. I mean, I think for me and my dad, we bond over a few things specifically, sports and, really the outdoors became a big thing for us. And so, that's where that started. And then I think for me being exposed to like us leasing land and going to other parts of the country, I think my brain works where I like to strategically think about things and dream how to make something better. And so, you know, prior to like software like Onyx or places where you could actually look at land and understand like what are the boundary lines and all that stuff, I would spend, I mean, hours in college just looking at Google Earth.
Guilty too.
and areas that we hunted or areas that, you know, maybe we wanted to hunt. And so I just enjoyed looking at that. I enjoyed dreaming about, okay, like if this was our land, what would I do to manipulate and change it and make it better, specifically for hunting, so for deer or turkeys. But I just, the strategy, the dream of that, I really loved and just was passionate about. And so that's where it started. And my dad, you know, has had, I think, a very normal career. Worked for a city outside of Atlanta doing parks and recreation. So not something crazy, but it's just been a really good saver and was frugal to in the way he invested and a lot of wisdom. And so because of that, eventually got to a place where he was able to invest in property. And so I think the big thing compared for us of like either leasing property or going on public land is we just wanted something to be our own and to have control over it. And so he got to a place where he was ready to bite the bullet and make an investment. And I think a big thing, if you asked him, is he felt like land was a wise investment in the sense of maybe it's not going to have like the financial return that the stock market could.
Sure.
But it's going to increase in value slowly, and it's something you get to enjoy while you're doing it.
While you're doing it.
So that was big for him. So we started looking into it, and my dad was pretty set on, you know, either Kansas, Oklahoma, Illinois, even Kentucky. And so we started the research there.
Yeah, I love it. And a lot of people either know but don't know how much, I guess, real estate work that Adam and I do. And it's a pretty fair amount. We stay very busy. We're extremely blessed to be traveling and on the road. So sometimes, you know, work just at home with local real estate gets, I don't want to say put to the corner or anything like that, but it's just more difficult to do that when you're on the road, right? But what we do have the ability to do, because through all those who have hired us in the past and those who work in a similar industry, a lot of other agents, we've been able to meet them from Kentucky, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, all across the South. We've just had the ability to meet tons of people. And we're talking agents from, you know, any brokerage, from small brokerages to the big names that everyone's looking at online, this and that. We've been fortunate to meet those people. And so through that and through the podcast, we're able to work with individuals like yourself who you and your dad reached out, sent us an email and said, hey, we want some help looking to find the right property. And kind of walk us through like why you felt that it was important to have someone help you find the right property from the get-go. You know, a lot of times either we're working with folks who have owned a property for many years, maybe it was passed down, or they've just invested in the past, and now they're thinking that, man, there's more here to this property. Have I tapped into it enough? And then, you know, we'll be hired for a consultation service. But you guys looked at it a little bit differently, and kind of walk us through why you felt that was important.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's a few things in that. I think personally for me, I felt a good bit of a personal confidence that I could pick something out and see, was it something that had a good foundation to build from or not? Mm-hmm. But I also realized that someone like yourself who does it for a living and has seen a lot of different property, and has just a better and even deeper knowledge, to help us in that, gave us a lot of confidence in making a decision.
Sure.
And so that's, I think, for me or for my dad, what we were looking for first was someone to help affirm and give us confidence in this start to this journey we're doing. And then I think the second part that you guys really helped with is, I know personally, I felt like when we were ready to pull the trigger, it's like, okay, I want to do this as fast as I can. We're so excited. Mm-hmm. And I think that excitement, probably you end up making an emotional decision that could be a bad decision long term.
Right.
And so what was really helpful is to have someone that is helping you from a non-emotional standpoint to say, hey, here are the pros and cons of this farm that you're looking at. Here's a third party that doesn't have any skin in the game, no investment. You're just looking for to help us succeed.
Sure.
And so that, I think, was really helpful to us because I feel like it's just emotional human beings wanting to do something you're passionate about. It's easy just to pull the trigger really quick. And with something like this, I think that it's really beneficial to have someone come alongside you that has a different perspective and doesn't have the emotional skin in the game that you do.
Sure. Well, and I think that you hit that point really, really well, because there's a lot of emotion when you do buy a property. And I just ask you, you know, like, why do you feel like it was right? Or what was that emotion? When did that yearning to own a piece of property kind of come on? Like, this isn't just an overnight thing. Like, you just wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm going to go buy a piece of property, right? We dream about this. We put hours and hours and hours into finding the right property, dreaming about it, planning. But oftentimes when then you get to the plate, you get to the opportunity to say, I'm ready, you know, from a time standpoint, from a financial standpoint, I'm ready to pull the trigger on property. Now it's time to look and seriously look and say, we're doing this. It's hard to separate, especially from the investment side that, you know, dad was considering and bringing that side of things into. It's extremely hard to separate emotion from I could make this property fantastic and overlook potential cons with a property, because you're so overwhelmed with maybe some of the potential or some of the good or maybe it's the trail camera images that were on the property or posted with it. It is consuming because we're all passionate about it. But I think like you said, and I've seen it many times with people, whether it's through consultation or whether it's through real estate transactions that Adam and I have been a part of, that emotion really can inhibit just wise judgment. And if you're looking to maximize your time, your investment, and your enjoyment on a property, you got to buy it right. And you got to buy the right one. Or then you begin to spin those wheels. So, You were wise enough to consider that on the front end, say, hey, I want the kind of that third party side of things. How do I do that? And that's essentially what it is that we offer. Yes, we're still real estate agents and we refer business outside of the state to another agent. So it's difficult for Adam and I to let's say, if you will, figuratively, take off the hat of consulting or take off the hat of working on the behalf of someone to get them what they want, the experience that they want on a recreational piece of property, and then put on a real estate hat and it be like, oh, just money commission driven. That doesn't happen. That's mm-hmm. like I don't see property through that lens. And it's like every time you go to a new piece or you see something and you're evaluating and you're giving opinions, it's I'm giving my honest opinion to help you make the best decisions and help guide you through this process wherever you're at, whether you've bought the place or whether you're deciding on the type of timber practice you want to have or when you should burn a place or whether in this case you should buy it or walk away from this one. It's what are your goals? Can it happen here? Can we make it happen here? Or can we make it happen on this piece with less resources or less time? Can we get there? And so it's almost by like fault that it's like I can't look at land in another way. So we do kind of want to help people look at land and say, is this the right piece? Because there's other ones out there. And so, man, I don't know. I guess you guys narrowed down Kansas, kind of Oklahoma options, and you had family close by, so it just made sense from a travel standpoint. So we kind of honed in on that region. But how many properties were we emailing back and forth, pretty consistently over several weeks' time, watching the market, looking to see what was out there, looking to see what new inventory was coming? But I don't really remember how many there were back and forth that we looked at.
Probably too many. I truthfully felt a little guilty sending you some postings because I was like, man, this guy's busy and I'm sending him 20 postings asking about. But you are super patient and also responsive. And so, I would say that we like thoroughly looked at, there were probably 10 in each state at least. Yeah. I think that both of us thoroughly looked at. In Oklahoma and Kansas, and you're right. So we have family, my mom's sister, who she's very close with, her husband and my cousin live in Tulsa. And so, it made a lot of sense. We visited them already, but we're very close with them. It made sense to be somewhere, within a few hours of that area.
Sure.
Also incentive. I don't think my mom would want to come out to hunt with us, but she may come out and spend time with her sister. And so, back to your question. I mean, probably 10 for each state that we really spent some time looking at.
Sure.
And I remember correctly, like you helped rate them for us too.
Right.
One through 10 being the highest, and you'd give us a rating and then you'd really back that up with like, here's why. Whether it's the layout of the property or the area or maybe the species that you can see based on the photos, which was helpful to you to help weigh those options.
And that's the tough part. I know we've talked about it on other podcasts, but and you know this just as much as I do from looking at properties online and then seeing some in person, is oftentimes you can show the good and not show the bad. And aerial says only so much. So some of those photos from on the ground, let's say the landscape view, may have some really great features. And then you see some clues, if you will, like forensics of maybe that's leading to something else that we need to be careful of. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but kind of going back to that forensic thought. When we're actually on site after you guys bought the place, closed on it, we did a follow-up consultation, and Frank Longcarriage was able to come and join us for that. But you could see us when we were out there, taking time to review the property itself and take an inventory. There's a couple places that we got to where there had been prior work done or the land had been changed drastically from what the native landscape was in the form of terraces, previous farming practices. But now that field looked nothing like a farm, crop field, as well as some other shearing and chainsaw work and, you know, what they were doing, looking at the disturbances. But we were taking inventory and then like almost backdating and saying, okay, here are the clues that tell us what's going to happen or what had happened, let's say, in the past. And sometimes having that third eye can pick those out of a real estate picture or an aerial. And we're able to go in and you know, again, backdate some aerials and then we'll say, oh, well, 40 years ago, that whole thing was pasture. But for me, that gives me the ability to say, okay, if that's pasture, if that was pasture 40 years ago, in your region, and looking at the topography as well as the now current up-to-date aerial imagery, this is most likely what you're going to deal with throughout these portions of the property. The other portions, you're going to have this. And we can almost begin to, let's say, start the process of understanding what it may take to develop it, right? And so some of those right out the gate, we're like, ooh, that one's going to be tough because from what I'm seeing, here's what you're dealing with. Or
right.
Here's what you're not dealing with, but we want, and why is that not there on the property? So yeah, you know, you can learn a lot and you can take in a lot, but sometimes you may be looking at a region and not have, you know, an extensive knowledge of it. So that third party is just good to help balance it all out.
Extremely valuable. I think, you know, what comes to mind is a recent podcast you had. I think it was Cover versus Food, and you know, real estate posting that say all these cedars, that's where all the deer are. Should it maybe true, but I think what's great is the value of having someone like yourself or Frank or Adam to say, okay, yes, so there are cedars there, but like, let's step back for a second. What that actually means is there's a bunch of encroachment happening, and that's not what you want long term. So I think getting another really, like, I think, again, a knowledgeable, valuable perspective that doesn't have the financial skin in the game real estate agent would.
Sure.
So valuable. And I can say, you know, firsthand for our farm that we now own, it's not perfect. There's plenty of things, as you know, where we have plenty of cedar, plenty of hedge, some locusts that are definitely have been taking over. So it's not a perfect place, but you know, I think from the onset, you guys helped us see, okay, here's what this looks like. Here's the work it's going to take, but here's maybe what the reward would look like long-term.
And that's the kind of the cool thing about it is, you know, when you're looking at property, you're looking at it like in the present time, but then you look for the signs that tell you what the past is, right? Or what happened on it. But at the same time, as you're looking to see while you're present, you're looking to see what happened in the past, we're also making the judgment call of, well, this is what the future is going to look like too, because of the past, but also what's happening right now in the present. So we can help guide and say, well, this is the history. This is what we're dealing with now. But in the future, this is what it's going to look like. Here's the snapshot of, based on the present, what we're going to have to do. But in the end game, this is what it's going to look like. And I think being able to, let's say, and I'm not saying span time, but have an idea of what has taken place and then what will take place, then helps to make the educated decision of currently, present, right now, is this the right property to buy or not? And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Being able to, let's say, play that timeline game, it really does help. And now, you know, where you guys are sitting at currently, there's a lot of species there that we saw that someone would say, oh, you know, those are junk species. Why'd you ever end up buying that place then? Why'd you settle on that one? Well, again, it's not necessarily what's growing there at this time, but it's, man, in the future, and to be able to get from where that property's at to that let's say final end game is pretty quick. And I think you guys are seeing that and experiencing that as we speak on that place. Right. I mean, and it's there's so much potential there.
I think you're exactly right. And you know, another point that you're bringing up that I think is valuable is, so me being a normal guy, I don't have a wildlife or biology background. You know, I would not be able to do the forensic investigation that, like, or Frank was so knowledgeable, mm-hmm. Just area. I would not have known what do these terraces mean,
right.
Or what is the area 50 years ago, 100 years ago. I would not have known that. So that's another, just again, just positive of, I think, working with you guys, or even if it wasn't you, but working with someone that is sure. an expert, knowledgeable, just the value in that. I think there's a peace of mind in it. And then again, being able to see beyond maybe what the present looks like, to see that potential, is so helpful and exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. It's almost like being able to paint a picture of what that future is, because, you know, everyone can see, you know, a certain amount of potential in a place and know that there's good bones here. There's a foundation. Let's build off of that. But a vivid image of what that end game is going to look like is the fuel, the energy to press on and continue to do it and make those changes over time. So we've gotten basically to the point of, okay, kind of helped go through a bunch of properties. We obviously identified one, found it, and then kind of take off from there, Wilson, about, you know, what the next couple steps were throughout that property until we guys came to the consultation.
Yeah, so I think some background knowledge just for listeners is, it wasn't the first property that we put an offer on or right. wanted.
Right.
We didn't. So there were specifically two prior to this that we were interested in making an offer. And by the time that we did, the agent said, hey, that's actually already under contract. Looking back on that, I'm actually thankful for that now.
Yeah.
Another property in Oklahoma that we looked at, you actually put us in touch with an agent in that area that you and Adam had worked with or had a lot of trust in. And he actually talked us out of it,
mm-hmm.
Which in the moment was kind of like, man, this is disappointing.
Sure.
But now, being on the other side of that, I'm so grateful for it, because I think we got a better fit for us long term.
Yeah.
It didn't always work out the first time. I think what I would tell myself, you know, if it was 6 months ago, was just be patient with it. And when it's right, it's going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
No, so that's right. We eventually found one. So I'm not ashamed or afraid someone's going to come walk on it or anything. It's in Elk County, Kansas.
Yep.
So Southeast Kansas. It's not a giant farm. It's 120-ish acres. So, you know, I wouldn't call it small, but it's certainly not big. But it's enough for my dad and I to start with and enjoy. We'd looked at it. I saw, again, the aerial photo. I liked a little bit of, like, just the foundation of the property, what it had. And I think a big draw, even though it's not the quality cover we want long term, it was still probably the best cover area that had just some sort of cover for wildlife and about a square mile around it.
Yes.
The area we're in is, like probably most of Kansas, but predominantly open prairie, cattle or agriculture, with your creek bottoms or ditches or just places like that that probably weren't able to be farmed or used for cattle, that still have timber on them or some sort of cover. So that was a draw to it. We talked to you about it. If I remember correctly, you may have given it like a 5 or a 6,
right?
Or if how it is, but it had the foundation and the potential to grow into an 8, 9, or 10,
right?
And that's all I needed to hear.
Sure. And because, you know, if anyone looks at properties, you know, let's say that scale, if you give it an 8 or 9, well, it's probably going to have a price reflective of an 8 or 9 too. And it's like, when you evaluate initial price that you're paying for versus if you buy a 5 or a 6, can I come into the game, not have that much input to make it that 8 or 9, or I make money as I make it, go up that scale to an 8 or 9 from a value of a recreational potential, and I increase the actual overall value of that land itself too in the process. I mean, that's a really good game to get into. That's a fun game.
Yeah, it's definitely a win. With that, obviously, like, the price you pay is significant and is going to matter. For us, I don't think that I don't think we got a steal necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think we paid a fair price for it.
Sure.
And that we didn't get abused, we didn't get taken advantage of. It wasn't the most expensive farm on the market, but it wasn't the least expensive either.
Right.
And that was okay with me and with my father. Paying a fair price was good. That's fine. And I know that specifically the individual that we purchased it from was an elderly gentleman that I believe is in a assisted living home in Wichita now. And so that, I'm sure, is going to help pay for the care for the rest of his life, sure, as well as his family. And so, paying a fair price for us was totally fine. So that's what we did. We worked with the agent that had listed it, who was very helpful. It was through Mossy Oak Properties. And our agent was great. When we decided this is something we want to potentially make an offer on, I just flew up and spent a day walking the property on my own. The agent unfortunately couldn't meet me just because of some family commitments he had. But I walked it just to get a feel for it, just to see what kind of sign that was on the property, to see how it felt, and could I see that being a home for us to have, and by home, a place to hunt, not actually live on
right
now. And so, felt good about it. And, from there we made an offer. They countered and, we made another offer, and, that was it. And so there were still, it probably took a month for the paperwork and the finances and all that stuff to come together, but was a really, I think, pretty simple process.
Yeah.
Went from there. We closed probably end of January this year, and have visited a few times since.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things of a lot of people might be nervous if they're a non-resident to buy a property in another state that they haven't seen, or they're nervous, but there's certainly ways to protect your interest while still making an offers and then doing follow-up visits, like working with an agent who can negotiate that into offers and contracts. All that's possible while still protecting your skin in the game. So you guys did that. You took full advantage of that. And I think that overall, it worked out really well. Had a great closing on it, and so that was the end of January. We were able, Frank and I were able to come out in the month of May, schedule a trip with you guys, and then walk the property, find all the gold that we were seeing on the aerial. And I think, well, I'll let you talk, but. After that consultation, kind of what's your energy, buzz, excitement, or thoughts there on the overall process of, okay, here's what we got. Now here's where we're going.
Yeah. So still, I mean, definitely still very excited. I think myself and my dad think about it, dream about it every day. Probably an
right.
You asked my fiance or my mom or something, but It's the excitement is still there. I think we realize there's a lot of work ahead, and that consultation I think was eye opening for what like, and then what do we need to work on. And so there's just details that myself and my father are not able to see that you and Frank were able to see, both good and bad. Mm-hmm. And so we started that process. So you guys provided a consultation plan. Really like photos and step-by-step, here's what you got, here's what we want to do to change it, and here's what we think it'll look like long-term. And so we've started that process. So we'd gotten in touch with a logger in the area that started timber work about 2 weeks ago. So they're removing this property. So it's got two different kind of creeks that come through it that have a few different hardwood species, but specifically walnuts that were valuable and marketable timber. And so they're removing that, as well as the logger was able to basically agree with us, hey, we'll put in roads. There was no road system or creek crossing on either one, either side of the property. And so through the work they're doing, they're putting those in, so adding culverts, pipes, crossings on the creek, which I think is instant value for us.
Sure.
Valuable to access the property, but also just in the event that we sell it one day, there's just value in that. And they're also removing some of the invasive species that are there as well while they're there. And so that's the start that's happening right now. I got some photos from the timber company actually 2 days ago.
Oh, send those things over.
Yeah. So that's exciting. So they're doing that. Work's getting done. I hadn't shared this with you, but earlier this week spoke with the NRCS agent in our county and started that process. So he's starting the application for us. So we're working with the NRCS and a state wildlife biologist to enroll in a few different programs, really to help remove the rest of the invasive species that are there. So I touched on it, but there is more than we would like, edge trees.
Right.
So, you know, from an aerial photo, or even if just, I think, a normal eye, you'd see that and go, that's good cover. I think long-term it's not the quality of cover we want. I think, you know, a little bit of hedge and stuff is fine, but when you have old pasture fields that are overrun with 10, 20, 30-year-old hedge trees, we're hoping, and it looks like we're going to be able to enroll in some programs where the government will help cost share some of that work done with us. So we started that process, and some of that done, we've got some other things to knock out as well.
You guys are rocking and rolling. I just went back and looked from a just a time frame standpoint, because I think that this is a important picture to paint, let's say, of the sequence of events, right? So we just talked about the identifying the property, closing, consultation. Now you're already working with the NRCS. You got some value coming off the property and further habitat improvements, but that takes us to July 1, but you guys initially reached out to Land and Legacy November 23rd of 2019, and by the end of January, you guys were closing on a property, and then by the end of the spring, we were consulting on the farm, and now just, you know, in a short month, it has totally transformed from initial, like, okay, here's what we do, to I've got a logging crew in there. I'm in touch with the NRCS. We've got invasives getting removed out of there. We've got a little bit of value coming off the property, as well as value going back into the property from a road system to be able to navigate, to be able to manage better, to be able to hunt and access. You guys are doing it. And this game started November 23rd. So this has been a pretty rapid start to, we're not finished, but a starting point to where you're at today. That's, you know, a quick 7 months and boom, here we are.
Right. It's been really encouraging. You know, I would say, I think we've just had a lot of grace and favor in it.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
You know, I would say first from God, but also, I mean, even so with the NRCS or with timber, the timber company, I reached out, I just sent a few emails based on the Kansas State recommendation or something. I did some research on the internet and had a few loggers reach back out, but you know, one person came and looked at it. I had not followed up. Basically I said, hey, we're going to have some consultants out there on Memorial Day weekend. After that, I'll let you know. And he actually followed up with me a few days after Memorial Day and said, hey, we're doing some work in the area and we'd love to stop by whenever you're ready. So pretty amazing, because I don't think that's always the case most places that it quick turnaround like that. So that a lot of favor in that. And I would also say our neighbors. So we've got some neighbors to the north of us that have a little bit smaller farm than us, but the owner of that house, she works for the USDA.
Nice.
And we just got to talking to him. I mean, really, we, the first day we were up there, myself and my dad, when we owned the property, we walked and knocked on the door and said hello.
Right.
Just to meet them and tell them who we were and
yeah,
try a relationship. And through that, so she, her name is Sarah, had a contact with the NRCS office, gave us a guy's number, as well as you guys provided it in our report. But they were helping us in that, our neighbors.
That's awesome.
And have been super encouraging. I mean, we've texted back and forth. When the logger showed up, she actually texted me and said, "Hey, there's somebody at your gate. Just wanted to let you know." And we'd not asked them, you know, look after the property, anything like that. She was paying attention. I think just out of care.
Sure.
And so we just had, I think, just a lot of favor in starting this process. I think we got a long ways to go, but just getting the ball rolling has been really encouraging.
Man,
I'll say that the other side of that, the NRCS agent I called, so a week ago, so this past Friday, I called, left a voicemail on Friday afternoon, and I honestly expected maybe they'll get back to me in a week or two.
Sure.
Well, Monday morning, he called me back.
Wow.
And this was not like someone's cell phone. It was just the NRCS extension number.
Wow.
To call me back and introduced himself, a man that has lived in that community for 30 plus years. Mm. His family, actually, I haven't shared this with you, some of his extended family owned our farm.
Wow.
Back when it was, I guess, an 1,800 acre track of land with 120, if that tells you anything about the area. But was very kind, welcoming, shared a little bit of history of the property. So, you know, there's one home that is very dilapidated that his aunt and uncle used to live in. And then right beside it, there's an old cinder block building. And my father and I really wondered, what is that? It was actually a dairy.
Oh, wow.
So they milked cattle there and kept milk there. So wouldn't have known that apart from the agent working with us. So they were super responsive and helpful so far.
Man, that's awesome. You don't find that type of environment, often. I mean, the story, it just keeps getting better and better with just that community that you guys were able to purchase in, in Southeast Kansas. And I think that's, it's so refreshing, probably being a non-resident landowner, but having those eyes from the neighbors just to be able to reach out. So, man, I'm pumped for you guys. And I know that there's going to be a rich history that you guys are going to start on this property too, because of just the relationship, not only that you and your dad have, but the relationship that you guys build with people. With us at Land and Legacy, the community, the neighbors, you know, you guys are going to be certainly blessed with a lot of opportunity, fun, and just overall enjoyment for being landowners out there. And I can't wait to continue to hear about that. Watch that success just unfold over the next few years. I mean, you guys are, I looked today and it's like, it's July. Well, you're going to be hunting soon, man. Like, it's coming quick. I know you guys are kind of focusing on the rut, but you realize September, it's not far away.
Right. My dad brings it up each time. We're only a few months away.
I love it, man. That's so exciting.
You know, what's funny about that is, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I've been like, man, I can't wait to hunt.
Yeah.
There's almost a part of me just because of the plan and the excitement, the dream, where it's like, do I want to give up hunting my trip this fall, mm-hmm, just to do work?
More management work. Wow.
I think we necessarily will, but there's like a temptation where it's like, well, you know, I could spend it hunting, or like, what can I actually get done that's going to have a long-term effect?
Right.
So.
Man, that's powerful. That really is. Not a lot of people are willing to give up their vacation time, the hunt time, to be able to go and just improve a property. But like I said, you and your dad are passionate. And man, I think I'm excited for you guys, because just the mentality and the ownership and the responsibility that you guys – you feel and you have with that property, it's in such good hands. And I, you know, that phrase gets thrown out a lot, but man, it really is. I think anybody listening to the podcast would certainly agree. So this thing has got a lot of opportunity in the next few years to see what happens on it. But don't be shy sharing them pictures, man. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'll have to shoot them to you once we get out.
Sounds good, man. Well, I certainly appreciate your time coming on here and just kind of explaining and breaking down a little bit of the process that you and your dad were able to go through. We certainly appreciate the relationship, the friendship that's developed out of this. Obviously, you guys are stand-up gentlemen, and it's always an honor to be able to work with guys like yourself. And man, just appreciate it. But I'll leave it with you for the final word here.
Yeah. Well, we you know, we're grateful for you guys. So we're grateful to Land and Legacy, you know, specifically you, Matt, and Frank, just because of the time and effort you spent in. And I think bigger than that, it's a friendship. Yeah. Sure, it's a business partnership in some ways, but it's a friendship.
That's right.
And so we're grateful for you. We feel really blessed, and we're excited to hopefully continue to share that, you know, with you guys and hopefully other folks that can do this with you as well, to make those dreams come true or work with you guys to do something very similar.
Well, certainly appreciate it, man. Always a joy, but you have a good rest of your evening. I know you got some beach time coming up, so enjoy that, and we'll touch base later on.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Matt.
I don't know if we could get any luckier finding two nice, just genuine people to be able to work with. But their story is important to share, truthfully, because of the fact that they're regular people. Adam and I get on the podcast all the time and chat about all the things that we're seeing, we're doing, we're covering lots of ground, and you hear from us all the time. But I think that there's certainly value in hearing from other people who are out there, passionate, you know, responsible landowners who are just making a difference and who can share their story about either what landownership means to them, their process of going through acquiring properties, utilizing Land Legacy, and what they plan on doing. And I think that there's encouragement through that, through those other voices. And we want to take time to be able to share that with you guys. So we appreciate you listening. And what we need to take time and certainly thank, partners like Vortex Optics. It's Americana, right? We just celebrated 4th of July. VortexOptics.com has got some incredible apparel options. So be sure to go over to VortexOptics.com and use the code LEGACY20 for any apparel option. You get 20% off of their awesome products. I know they've got some sweet American flag stuff. So it's very timely, very fitting. But it's also, we're getting to that window where we're summer scouting, when you see long distances, we need to be practicing with our bows and range finders. We need to be sharp on it, guys. We got season coming around quick. So be sure to head over to vortexoptics.com. But really do appreciate everybody listening here this week and hearing from the Perrys. Unfortunately, Mike wasn't able to join us, but they're just fantastic people who and they've got an awesome story to share, and we're just fortunate to be able to work with them, see this property develop. Obviously, it's got a rich history of ownership, and I think that, or I know that they're going to be incredible landowners, even being non-resident. You don't have to be there every single day to manicure it, take care of it, and be good stewards of land itself. So, guys, we hope that this was encouraging. And we just appreciate your time that you take each week to be able to listen to the Land and Legacy podcast. And be sure to check us out on social media. That's Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. If you guys have questions about real estate, you guys have questions about consulting, be sure to go to landandlegacy.tv. If you're interested in consulting, go to the consulting tab, scroll all the way down. There's an inquiry box. Send us your information or give us an email. We'll be sure to reach back out to you. Same thing with real estate, guys. If you are interested in purchasing property, would like our expertise in the process, be sure to reach out to us. Go to the real estate consulting tab. Click on that tab. Scroll down. There's also a box there that you could put in information. We would love to help you. We'd love to find you the right piece out of the gate. You know, get started on the right foot for you in your area and what you're trying to accomplish. That first step is a big step, but it's an important step. And some could argue it's the most important step, building that foundation, having a property that will support what it is you're looking to do, and not purchasing emotional right out of the gate. So appreciate it. Y'all have a lovely, lovely week. Catch you next week.